Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
I'm excited about tonight because I believe this is going to be a miracle moment. And I believe one day when we're on Hallelujah Avenue in heaven, we're going to say, do you remember that night? Look at the unbelievable reward God gave us for being faithful that's ours for all eternity. Remember, what you save here the day you die stays here. But what you give to God is yours for all eternity. Maybe your 401k is doing okay right now. Most people's 401k has become a 101k. It just all kind of collapsed in on top of itself. And you know what the Bible says? The problem with storing stuff here is that it says rust and corruption and moth gets in there and eats it up. And suddenly, what you thought you had, you don't have anymore. But when you give to God, oh my, that is yours in God's treasured account for you forever. Can I ask you a question? How's your bank account doing in heaven? What have you got laid up for all eternity? I am excited about, boy, looking at that new auditorium, doing all these road things, which have to be done for the project to be undertaken. And can I remind you of something? There's so many ministries on this property that I'm passionate about. But the most important ministry on this property is what happens in this auditorium, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, you say, well, does that mean you're not for the college? No, I'm passionate for that college. How that's blessed my own family. Boy, am I passionate for the Christian Day School and all the outreach and all of the ministries. But you know what? You want to know what's most important? If you could only do one thing here, this is the one thing you'd do. Because it is the most important. And man, what you're going to do is make it possible for the most important thing to touch more lives right here. I want to give you something I know. This project is either from a man's heart of ambition or a man's heart of vision for God. And an awful lot of things done in the name of God were never God's vision. It was just a man's ambition. Man wanting to do something that would draw praise to man. I promise you, that's not been done here. This man has sought the face of the Lord and has said, God, I want what you want. This is a vision that God gave your pastor. And he's had men pray. It's not a matter of ambition. It's a matter of vision from God. I love your preacher, but if this was just something of ambition, I wouldn't be standing here. Because our resources, everything we have, came from God and belongs to God. And I don't want my resources to fuel somebody's ambition. I want my resources to fuel God's vision. And that's what we're here to do tonight. Oh, how this has been bathed in prayer. And how God has fervently led for this to be undertaken. I live in Tampa, Florida, and one day I'm at the airport. And the strangest sight, the Green Bay Packers. How many of you are aware of that football team came to town? And as I walked into the airport, there were not hundreds, there were thousands of Green Bay Packer fans who had come from Green Bay, Wisconsin, down to Tampa, Florida. The teams were going to play. And the Green Bay Packers called themselves the Cheeseheads. That's their name. Crazy name, I think. But they wear a huge triangle that looks like cheese on their heads. Now, you think the Shriners look nuts. The Shriners look like Gentleman's Quarterly material compared to this. Here are these thousands of people, men, women, kids, with their cheese head stuff on. Steve Kluth, my wonderful right arm, great man of God. I said, Steve, that's the stupidest thing I ever saw. He said, well, you know, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I said, you don't have that kind of nut stuff, do you? He said, yeah, and if I was doing it, they're going to be here. I'd have worn mine for them. And I said, Steve, that's bizarre stuff. Look at this. They're making a spectacle of themselves. I love what he said. He said, it's just because they got passion. And he said, Brother Gibbs, when you have passion, you want to let it be shown. When you have passion, you have a desire to let it be shown. You know what? You know a team, because they're everywhere, where the fans show their passion. And man, they'll paint their bodies, they'll dye their hair. They'll stand up and yell and scream because they want their passion to be shown. I remember one night, my mom, afflicted with polio, in a wheelchair, couldn't walk or stand. Man, we were at our church service one night, and a visiting evangelist said, man, if you got a passion for God, stand up. And my mom reached over and she said, you got to hold me up. I said, Mom. She said, no, you got to hold me up. Get me up, son, right now. It matters to me that my passion is shown. Would anybody around you ever say, boy, has that guy got a passion for God? Boy, has that lady got a passion for God? Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, I have it. It just doesn't show. No, you can't hide passion. It's going to be shown. And you know what? God's looking for somebody to show it. Turn in your scriptures tonight to Philippians chapter 3. I'll not preach at length. Right now, tonight, it's just going on 6:30, and I'll be done at 7 o'clock in the Hawaiian time zone. I'll be done, all right? I'll be there. You know what, when you read Paul, man, what a man with a passion for God. And when you read David's Psalms, what a passion for God. When you read Peter, what a passion for God. You know, tonight, if we're going to do anything of honor here, it's got to be done with a passion for God. I hope you understand, we're not raising money for us. If you're just giving for the people that are here, or for pastor, that's a kind thing, but boy, is that misdirected. Man, we're given unto the Lord. These buildings belong to God. And we want these buildings for God's honor, for God's glory. And we want God to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ask or think through His Spirit in us. That's what we're looking for. But you know what I find gets that in a right perspective? Is do you have passion in your life? I wish you could sit on the platform sometime and just watch people during a church service. There's some people when they sing, they don't sing with any passion. They look like they're in pain. They're kind of like, oh man, I hope they're not going to do another verse. And I often wonder about those people, Brother Schmidt. What are they going to do when they get to heaven? Because if I understand right, in heaven, we're going to sing His praises for all eternity. Wow. You know what? When you sing without passion, that's a statement. That's a statement. Because, man, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, I know some people when they sing. I love this dear brother right here. I do. Brother Jerry, he's just phenomenal. But when he sings, I have never... He is a perfect half pitch off, no matter what pitch you pick. And he sings with such passion, he pulls you to his pitch. And so this side is singing, Brother Furso's our leader, because he sings with passion. And you say, well, is he a great singer? But no. But his passion makes it wonderful. Oh, it makes it so good. Have you ever heard a person give a testimony that was worded all right, but it had no passion in it? And you say, well, boy, that didn't do anything for me. Where's the heart? And then there's another person stands up and they're so nervous, they can't hardly talk. But boy, have they got passion. Man, when they're done talking, you say, amen. Their passion pulled you in. Can I tell you up front tonight? I'm going to ask you to do tonight with some passion for God's honor, for God's glory. You see, the devil has already got his master plan to try to defeat this. The Bible says as a roaring lion he's seeking who he can get his grasp on and devour. And boy, nothing puts the devil to flight like a passion for God. Now, the passage we're about to read, you're familiar with. But I want to remind you, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Boy, what a statement. What matters to you in this life? You know, as you travel America, boy, do you see the things that have their grips on people. And Paul said, what used to matter to me? I just count but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Never forget, it's by faith we're saved through grace. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now get ready, verse 13. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know what's in your past, but I've made a mistake or two in my time. How many of you all have ever made a mistake? Hold your hand up. How many of you like me have made some you're just thrilled everybody doesn't know about? Sure. You know what God says? I want you to stop. And I don't want you to let what was any time in the past capture you. I want you to have a passion. We tonight are going to press toward the mark for the prize. A passion to do what God wants done tonight. Now remember, every one of you here is responsible for you. No one here is responsible for another. But boy, I'm sure responsible for me. And tonight, with a passion, I want David Gibbs to press toward the mark for the prize. Do you know what that word press meant there? It was the word for an excited passion. It was the word for a passion that was consuming. I press toward the mark for the prize. I love being around God's people when they're excited about the things of God because they have a passion I identify with. But boy, when you get around Christians that don't have a passion to press toward the mark for the prize, and all of a sudden, God's not going to be doing something. Tonight, I want you to write just a few things down. If we're going to press, if we're going to have that passion, three real simple things. Number one, by command of God, we got to have a passion to be a better Christian. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, that's so simple. Can I remind you of something? You are no better of a Christian than you desire to be. And if you've got a passion to be a better Christian. Now, the scripture absolutely admonishes this. Listen very carefully to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You know what? God wants you and me to walk worthy, to get better. Now, God never commands what God won't enable. But you got to pull the decision trigger. Have you got a passion to be a better Christian? What I've discovered is no one is any better of a Christian than they desire to be. But boy, if you have a desire to walk worthy, oh my word, God's ready to go into you and really do something. The command is clear. Walk worthy. Being a better Christian is not complicated. How's your Bible reading doing? The Bible commands us to dwell richly in His Word. You know what I've discovered? Christians get to the place where they don't read the Scripture like they used to, and they wonder why their growth is slowing down. I've never met anyone walking worthy who didn't have a Bible reading schedule. Because without the Word of God, there is no way to walk worthy. How's your prayer time? You know what the Bible says? We're to pray without ceasing. The command is we're to be instant in prayer. And I want to walk worthy. If I were to ask you, give yourself a grade on how your Bible reading is. Give yourself a grade on how your prayer time is. And Brother Schmidt, when I interview young people who want to come to our ministry, I always tell them, boy, I'm so glad God's laid our ministry on your heart. I'd like to see your prayer list, your personal prayer list. Because you know what I've discovered? You can tell where somebody is with God if you look at their prayer list. And I say, if you got personal names on there, deduct them out. I don't want to embarrass anything, but I want to see your prayer list. And you know what mortifies me? They say, well, I just kind of don't have one. No one has a worthy prayer life without a prayer list. And what's on your prayer list? I talk to people all the time when I interview them. I say, when's the last time you spent an hour in prayer? You know what? If you have a decent prayer list, it'll take more than an hour to get through it. But if you don't have a prayer list, if you're like me, I'm kind of out of things to pray for after 5 minutes. Walking worthy, with passion pressing towards the mark. Wow. We have the Word of God. We have the privilege of talking to the Creator. We're commanded to come boldly to His throne. And He says, you ask and I'll answer. I always tell moms, could I see your prayer list for your kids? What are you praying for? Where's the passion to walk worthy? Mom and dad, where's the prayer list for your marriage? Boy, we're in marriage trouble in America. Can I remind you? A marriage is two very imperfect people who God has called together to do something of great honor to Him. And somebody says, well, I want a better mate. You want a better marriage. It's not a matter of finding a better mate. It's a matter of you getting better. And God will make it better. Oh, man, walking worthy. How are you doing with your witness? Man, is there a passion to tell people about the one thing that makes a difference in where you spend forever? Coming out here, my flight was delayed, and it was not good. You understand, the flight that leaves at 7, I'm there just a little past 5. I leave my house at 4:30. To leave the house at 4:30, I get up at 3:45 and then tack 3 hours because 3:45, all right, is back 1:45. It makes a long day. And I'm sitting at the airport with a delayed flight. And a lady sitting next to me said, this is so aggravating. I just hate waiting. Man, time is so heavy. I said, you know, time can be heavy. And I said, can I ask you a question? See, she said, sure, what? I said, you and I are both having to weather time here, and it's kind of aggravating. She said, yeah, it sure is. And this lady was a little profane. She was kind of swearing a little bit. And I said, let me ask you something. How are you going to handle forever? I said, you and I are having a pretty rough time with 2 hours. She said, what are you talking about now? I said, you know, forever. It's called eternity. And she said, I don't get it. I said, well, let me tell you. Every person in this airport is going to spend forever somewhere. And forever is not a long time. It's not a very, very long time. It's forever. And I said, how are you going to handle that one? And she said, well, I never thought about it, but she said, it's uncomfortable. Oh, I said, you go to the wrong place, very uncomfortable. And I had the privilege to give her a tract. You know what? I think we forget something. Every person you see everywhere is on their way to eternity. And you know what God says? I want you to be my representatives to tell them about me. And I wonder you can say, man, by God's grace, my Bible reading, oh, man, my prayer time, oh, yeah, what passion. Man, am I pressing toward the mark with passion. Boy, my witnessing, my marriage, what I'm praying for and the passion for my, man, it is just A+, A+. No one is any better of a Christian than they decide to be. And what I'm begging you tonight is do a little inventory. Do a little check. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, are you perfect at all this stuff? I truly wish I could tell you, yeah. But you know what? These things get a struggle in my life because it's easy to get distracted. And all of a sudden, I have to get back to basics. Because I know if I'm going to have a passion for God, if I am going to walk worthy, I have got to be the person with that passion. How's your giving? Is it with passion? When's the last time you got excited about giving to God? I mean, excited. You know what the Bible says? The Lord loves a cheerful. That word cheerful there, The word that we have that matches truly the closest to it today is the word hilarious. You know what God says? You understand, I have the power to take it. How many of you understand, if God wanted it, he could take it from you? How many of y'all have figured that out? Stupidest thing anyone on planet Earth can do is try to protect their stash from God. God's God. But you know what he says? I'm going to give you the privilege. I'm going to give you. And then what I want you to do is have a cheerful, this wonderful, passionate spirit to give back. I love these young people up there because of their passion. They're not sitting here saying, well, we sure gave a lot. I don't know. No, no, no. They have a passion to do it. You know what they need to see more than anything? A passion in mom and dad. A passion to be excited about it. Tonight in closing, I want you to write some very simple things down. Because I plead with you tonight for this miracle moment to get a passion in this second, in this giving. I need it in my own heart. The devil wants to quench the passion. But can I remind you, and don't forget, when we give to God, we do it for three reasons. And you have been so instructed, so biblically correct. Man, I've taken your pastor's material. I've used it. My wife and I have gone through it to apply it to our own hearts and lives. But passionate giving sure requires three things. Number one, we give because we love him. Because we love him. You know what? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is it hard for you to give to God? Not if you love him. Man, it's exciting to give to who you love. I love little kids once they get into giving. And I often tell the story of Jonathan, who's now grown, but he was our youngest, and he had to be about five, Mrs. Chapel, and he figured out Christmas. And he said, Dad, I know Christmas. Oh, great. He said, I want to get you something. I said, oh, that's wonderful. He said, give me some money. And he held out his hand. Just like that. Now, don't you forget, you're not giving God anything he didn't give you. So I gave him some money. My daughter took him shopping, and she called, and she said, Dad, we got a disaster on our hand. I said, what's the disaster? She said, he's got two things, and he only has money for one. And he's crying his eyes out. Because he said, I want both of these for Dad. She said, Dad, that little boy loves you. And I'm telling him, no, you got to just pick one. And Daddy sat down on the floor, and he's just squalling. And she said, everybody in Target's looking at me like I hit him or something. And I never laid a hand on him, but she said, Dad, he loves you so much. You have that love for him? Oh, I love giving to you because I love you. She said, can I give him more money? I said, oh, you bet. Well, he come home and wrapped it all up. Man, he wanted me to open it, right? And I said, no, we got to wait. Christmas morning, next day. 4:45. He's in the bedroom. Do you know what's in his hand? That gift. 4:45. I said, oh, Jonathan, come on, come on. It's 4:45. You know what he said? I love you too much to wait. I love you too much to wait. Man, on his heels was my oldest son, David, mad. He said, will you tell him to stop throwing water on us? He took a glass of water because nobody would get up, and he poured it on his brother's head. And I said, oh, he loves me. He said, he may love you, but I'm going to murder him. And he just... My wife said, come on, honey, let's get up. And I will... Best Christmas ever. I said, Jonathan, you wanted one gift, but unfortunately every other child on the planet wanted the same one gift. But your mom drove hundreds of miles and found it. And it's going to be a fun time. He started to cry. He said, no, I want you to open yours. Now, he'd put three rolls of scotch tape on it. I mean, it was entombed. And we're trying to pull it apart. And finally, my wife has these scissors that cut turkeys up. And we're whacking away on it. That little boy sat in my lap and cried the whole time. He said, I hope you like it because I love you. Whoa. Sweet Alabama. Now, they were unusual gifts. How many of you know 5-year-olds have unusual taste? It was a little green paperweight with an orange frog on it, and the frog has a fish in its, or a turtle, and the turtle has a fish in its mouth that it's like half cut in half, and the fish's eyes are all bulged out. And and then it was a matching green pen that could never write. But it was sealed, so you could never put another thing in it. He said, do you like it? I said, no, I don't like it. I love it. Because you see, it wasn't the gift. It was the love that brought the gift. What are you got bringing your gift tonight? You want to do it with passion? Lord, after all you've done for me, I love you. And God, I'm given tonight with passion because I love you. Now the devil's going to whisper, oh, that's sweet, but get real. No, getting real is giving with a joyful heart. That's getting real. Getting cold and calculating, oh, that wrecks everything. I was with a dear lawyer friend of mine, and his wife said, remember, your anniversary is tomorrow. He said, oh, yeah. And secretary said, I'll be sure you get him a, get your wife a present. He said, yeah, I guess I got to get her one. And I said, what's this stuff you guess you got to? I said, don't you want to give her something? He said, well, you know, if you don't give them something, you're like a bum. I said, you're already a bum. I know you. But I said, don't you love her? Don't you want to give the lady you love? Don't you want to give her something with love? Be careful. We give because we love. And make sure that that love is guiding your hand, that it's guiding your heart, because it changes everything. With passion, because we love. Write number two down, with passion, not just because we love, but because we've been graciously commanded. Graciously commanded. You say, Brother Gibbs, what do you mean by that? Well, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, Luke 6:38. You know what God said? Give, there's an absolute command, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But then he says, with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be meted to you again. God says, I'm commanding you, but you'll never outgive me. And God says, if you give, it shall be given unto you. What a gracious command. I was at a church and I preached on that, and a wonderful lady came up and she said, do I understand right? If I give to God, God graciously promises that he'll give back unto me. I said, that is what it says. You see, God just doesn't command you to give and then see how you make out. God says, you give and I'll give back unto you. What a treasure. God says, give because you love. But God says, give because of the grace of my command. Be careful. I know people who think, I'm going to give because I don't expect God to ever give back. You're wrong. Your giving is all wrong. Man, you want to give saying, God has promised, if I give, it's going to be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But God says, the same measure that ye meet, the same heart you do that with, that's the same heart that's going to come back. So God, I want to take your gracious command. I'll never forget, I was in the Orient with you, Pastor, and we had the privilege to preach to some churches there. And when I preached that, a man came up and he said, every God I ever had was a taker. Your God's a giver. I said, you got it right. My God is a gracious giver. Give because you love. Give because it's graciously commanded. Write number three down. We give because we have a desire to. A desire. Have you ever seen parents that don't have a desire to give to their kids? They scare me. Where is that heart, that desire, the passion? Do you have a desire to give to God? A desire? Oh, listen, no one's heart is right that doesn't have a desire. What the pastor stands up here and paints, and all the thousands of people that are going to come under the gospel, and all the furtherance of this, what God has so magnificently and is miraculously doing, and God wants you to be a miracle person by his power. Do you have a desire to give? Now, I want to say a very strange thing. If someone just talks you into giving, they did you a great disservice. But if someone helps you get a godly desire to give, they have done something wonderful in your life. Wonderful. My wife has been such a help to me. When we sit down and start talking about what to give, she's so easy. She just speaks kind of quiet. But she says, well, honey, while we're figuring this, number one, none of this is ours. It's all his, right? I said, yeah, that's right. And whatever he gives, he's promised, whatever we give, he's promised to give even more back. I said, yeah, that's right. And she said, we got a passion to do it, right? A desire. How's your desire tonight? I wonder if you're somebody who came in here and said, well, I pretty well set the line and nobody's going to talk me beyond that. Nobody should. But do you have a desire to give? A desire. God's looking for that man. God's looking for that lady. Holds the things palms up and said, here's my desire. I was in Africa and off tell the story of going to a leper colony. And this leper colony, bless their hearts, without money for medications, the disease had ravished these poor people's bodies. And when you see them, these precious Christians whose bodies have been eaten away by this insidious disease. And two things happened there that will never erase from my mind. Number one is the little girl who came up to me, a teenage girl. Her hands all gone. Major parts of her body gone, and half her face gone. And when she talked to you, she had to put a stub of an arm up here to cover it so the air didn't escape out. And she said, would you sing with me? And I said, oh, honey, you want a singer? You got the wrong guy. No, she said, if you'll sing with me, I can sing. I said, really? And the director there said, yeah, if you'll sing with her, you can sing. I said, well, I don't know if I know the song you want to sing. I said, what song do you want to sing? If I live to be 1,000. She said, I want to sing Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We sang. And I just bawled. You know what? She should count her blessings. But if she's been blessed, what have you been blessed? Wow. We finished singing, and I'm just sitting there crying. And one of the lepers said, we don't have much, but let's take an offering for Brother Gibbs. But these people have nothing. I said, oh, no. I love what the director said. He said, Brother Gibbs, they have a passion to give. He said, you'll break their heart if you don't let them give. Because they want to give to you as unto the Lord. And I watched these people who had so little. And I said, would you just stand down there? And a number of them came up and said, it's in here when I'm old, and they don't have hands. And I watched their desire to give. I told them, I'm so unworthy of this. You people have changed my life. I want that desire. I want to be the person who says, Lord, because I love you, and you've graciously commanded, and I have a desire, a passionate desire, to give unto you. How's your passion tonight? It'll show. Those crazy cheeseheads, I sure don't agree with their hats, but I love their passion. And you know what? The world needs to see God's people with that passionate authored of God that's of honor to God. Tonight when you give, because you love him. Tonight when you give, because he has so graciously commanded. You will never lose one thing in this life that you give to God. He'll return it, and he has promised it's yours for all eternity. And then, because I want to. I have a desire to. Gloria Ann and I have now been married 44 years. And preacher, you know I was down very, very sick just a couple weeks ago. And Gloria Ann and I had a chance just to talk together. And I said, hon, I want to tell you something. I love you more today than I've ever loved you. I want you more today than I've ever wanted you. Next to being saved, you're the best gift God ever gave me. And I'm so bad at it. But I want you to know my desire for you is greater than it's ever been. I love you. God wants to hear that. He wants to hear it from your heart. He wants to hear it from mine. Is this a great project? It sure is. Is it a great need? Oh, absolutely. Is it because of this man's ambition? No way, shape, or form. Is it because God's given a vision? Absolutely. But get a desire. Because you love him. Because of his gracious commands, And God, I want to. When you get ready in a minute to fill something out, can I encourage you to take 1 minute and say, God, I thought I had a number in mind, but I'm thinking about how much I love you. And God, I'm thinking about all you've done for me. And I want you to know, I got that passionate spirit. And God, I desire. The scripture warns that in the latter days, perilous times shall come. And with this I close. And God says, be careful you don't get pulled into this. And the scriptures then enumerate, I believe, 18 characteristics of things that are going to come up in and try to infiltrate into God's people. And you know the thing God mentioned right off the bat? That people would be lovers of their own selves. And what our church is nationwide, we have people who love God, but nothing like they love themselves. They love God, sort of, but they really love themselves. And you know where their passion is? For themselves. My friend, the scripture says, from such, turn away. Make sure that doesn't grip me, doesn't grip you. Lord, I love you. And with passion, I am going to press toward the mark for the prize. I love you tonight, Lord, more than I ever have. And I desire you more tonight, God, than I've ever desired to give. I want this to be the best heartfelt offering I have ever given. And now the choice is yours.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.